Mr. Gay Wan Gui, Rue 14. When they allocated the land to each family, did they give you the seeds for growing?
Yes, we could get a good advice. We were told to go to the agricultural center. Now there we can actually get the best advice possible anywhere, because it was the leader was Mr. Tan Hun Siang, an expert in agriculture, and he was in the charge of Mr. Chen Jian Ji, a graduate of Sedang, and they were willing to help us in providing us with seeds, with seedlings, with whatever kinds of eatable vegetables or whatever we wanted to grow, because the main thing was to grow food, you see. And even with regard to the method, the best method of growing these things, they would give us the advice how to do it.
Only two of them were in charge of the center.
No, they had other workers to help them. They were the chief. And they were very willing to help. They would even, I mean, of course, Mr. Tan couldn't do it. He was an old man. But Mr. Chen Jianji, was very energetic. He would even come himself to help us. But I didn't do it. I just went to see. Usually it was enough to go to the center to watch how they grew the various kinds of crops, and explanation given, so that we would go back to our own land to do the same thing. And in doubt, we could always go back, just a matter of a mile or so, and ask questions.
Were there proper classes, or could you go there any time that you wanted to?
No, there were no proper classes, actually. But the point is, as I said already, the Chinese, among them, there were enough experts. Some are from China or Taiwan, Taiwanese origin, who knew how to plant rice, how to grow vegetables better than local people. As a matter of fact, in some cases, like growing sweet potatoes to a record size, I learned from the neighbors how to do it without any trouble, without going to refer to the center. The only thing that I went and troubled the center was about the growing of various kinds of rice, Trengganu rice, Taiwan rice, Formosa rice, and that kind of things, because these different types of rice require different conditions and are quite different in their characteristics.
What kind of seeds or seedlings were normally available?
Well, seedlings of rice is a thing. The rest are all seedlings of chai, various kinds of chai sim, cabbage, and that kind of thing. See? You can just tell them you want this kind of seed, that kind of seed. Huh? You just ask them and they give you a handful, then free of charge. This kind of beans, peas, and so on. Which we could even go down to the Andau village and buy the packets for a few cents. Now the most difficult thing was the getting ready of the seedlings, which require expert handling for a few weeks. Then we had to tell them how many acres we were going to cover, how we prepared our land, and they would give us so many bundles to plant so many feet apart. So,
all these were given free to the family members?
Oh yes, we were allocated our ration. Not any amount we liked, though. But since I knew Mr. Chen, I wanted any amount I could, you see.
So there was a ration of seeds and seedlings for each family?
Reasonable amount.
Did you get it once in a while, or were there specific times that you had to go and get it?
When they found that we had our field reasonably ready, they would give us. They were not stingy in that respect at all.
Did you have any prior knowledge of agriculture before you go, before you went to Endow?
Of course, my friend and I, we bought some books on growing vegetables in Malaysia or in farming in the tropics. We just read up, but all in theory, which is useful but not much use.
Besides the seeds, were there rations given out to the family?
Rice. We were given rice, certain amount of rice and sugar. For example, we were given 8 kgs of rice per head per month. That's quite a lot, you know.
Throughout the period that you stayed in,
yes.
Vietnam, was the amount ever changed?
No, not that I know of. That was one of the reasons why we left Singapore for Endow. The assurance of the supply of rice first, in the first place, and sugar in the second place, you see.
Was the supply of rations very regular?
Yes, it was regular.
Where would you get your rations from?
From the store first. As a storekeeper.
Was there any kind of record or procedure for you to go and collect your rations?
Yes, they would know us, you see. We would just show our name, mention our name, they show us, we just sign, or I think my wife signs, or I can't remember, just she would come back with a packet of rice, so many kgs of rice regularly.
Was it on a monthly basis or weekly basis?
I don't have any. I think on a monthly basis, I should think.
Did the organizers supply the instruments or the tools that you need for farming, or did you have to get your own?
Initially, they tried to, but those were all made in Singapore and they were of no use because they got dented after a few strokes. The steel was not good enough. So we had to buy crocodile brand of chunkos and axes made in England, and they cost a fortune, I tell you.
Where would you get this?
From the hardware shops in Singapore. We went hunting around Sungai Road and we went scrounging around trying to get these things.
You mean you bought all these before you
Yes, before we went to Endow. Because people with experience told us not to touch local-made tools for farming.
That was supplied free by the organizers to the settlers?
Yes, but we took our share, but when we found that what they said was true, they didn't last long.
So how did you how much did you work on your land while you were there?
Well, quite a lot. Whenever I was free, but I was quite young that time, and I learned a lot from the farmers, people who actually did farming either in China or somewhere, especially from the old men who did farming in China. And one thing, the Chinese use organic manure more than anything else. So all these toilets and so on were always clean. Because people had no chance to collect all these feces, you see. They all be cleaned up by these farmers. They would come and collect them regularly and dig them all up and take them away to their farms. So all these trenches, which we had the open trenches for our toilets, were all cleaned up, all these matters.
So where would you get your fertilizers for your land?
When we moved to our own land, we kept our own. We made use of our own organic wastes. Foodstuffs and so on, we just buried them until they rotted and then mixed them with earth and found that they were very useful for fertilizers. No other way. And of course, the lands being new lands, burnt earth was very fertile originally, and being just newly used and planted for the first time, they were bound to be fertile. And you add a little bit of organic manure, the first crop was assured, but not so sure about the second crop. That's how we learned from experience.
Do you remember what was your first crop, first harvest?
Well, the first harvest was very disappointing, because my first crop of paddy was all eaten by mice. Because I was over ambitious, I planted fast growing paddy, and while the other people's crops took longer to ripen, mine took 3 months shorter periods. Some other mine ripened first, and then for one or two nights, my paddy field was 2 miles away from my house, and I had to walk. And neighbors one morning came and said, your paddy stalks are all eaten up. I said, what do you mean eaten up? Say, come and see. And true enough, when I went there, I found all the stalks all broken or seemed to be trodden down. And yes, they were gnawed by mice, because as the paddy ripened first, hordes of mice came and ate the stalks and ate the paddy. And within 2 or 3 nights, they finished up a whole lot. So I just sat down and looked. Nobody could compensate, nobody could help me. That was the first experience. And then about the dry side where I planted the potatoes, the same thing happened. I had a potato that went about 16 catties, so big. Sweet potato that went so big, but empty inside, eaten by mice. Again, we must learn a lesson that when planted these things, do not plant and get yours ready before the others are ready. When you want to plant seed that you plant together, more or less, there's a large amount, sufficient enough all around. So if the mice come and attack, they could have enough to eat and leave some to spare. So it could be very despairing and heartbreaking. But I did have enough. So how do we live? Really, by doing small business, I through my teaching, my wife through bartering, and yes.
Why was your land so far away from your house?
Well, you see, for wetland, you cannot choose, because you cannot build your house and then your wetland next to your house. You cannot see. So after the failure of this piece of paddy land, my friend suggested to me, you want the next successful crop, come along, let us arrange with the Malay settlement here. And that's what many Chinese did. The Malays here, give them a few $100 per acre. So we arranged with some Malays, I think it was $200 per acre. So we gave them about $600, I think, per acre. And that paddy land was easy because already prepared. Now, the only thing we had to do was to cut the grass. Cut the old stalks, trample them underground, and get new seedlings and plant together with the others. We were calculating that we might get a crop worth more than $600.
Why $600 an acre?
$200 an acre. So 600 for 3 acres.
Was it common for all the settlers to do that?
No, you see, my friend happened to know somebody who had so many extra land. It's quite true. He was saying, in fact, he gave us more than 3 acres. I think 5 acres. We had no time. We had no time to work. My friend and I, we worked until we had the skin taken off our back, so hot. And he told us he had a big chunk of wood all inside paddy underneath his hut, you know. And he said, I have so much paddy, what to do? And if I work all of my paddy fields, the next harvest will be too much for me to keep, to bring in. So he can have them. Of course, we had to give him some money, you see. And at that time, $600 was practically very small money, Japanese money, you see. And then again, when everything was going to be ready, the surrender came, so I had to leave everything. So I never ate my own rice. But it did teach me a lesson. So that you notice when I want to eat rice, I don't take more than I can eat. So don't waste even a grain of rice. It's not so easy. Appreciate it.
So what happened to your own paddy land when you used it?
My own paddy land. I found that it was so difficult to irrigate it, that it might as well be turned into sweet potato land. So as a paper mill was working, that fellow had dug a drainage, you see. And he was actually draining my paddy field land, making it dry. That's why the rats could come. Because there was no water. If there was water, the rats would be too lazy to swim. So there were many, many things which I learned. Then, all right, I also closed my the irrigation drainage. I also closed that part as it arrived to that section near the paper mill. And the thing also became dry land. So I changed the thing to potato, sweet potato. So I planted sweet potatoes and left it like that. Again, I didn't enjoy the crop. I just let other people take it because I was coming back to Singapore to my job.
You mean it took that long for you to convert it from paddy to dry land?
Oh yes, you could weed. Got to weed and throw off all the weeds and then make the mounds again. And I was all alone, you see. And my wife would come in once in a week to help.
You did not have any help to work on the land?
I had an old man to help, but he would come occasionally. And the land, when you dig the land, is not the kind of soft earth. Right? It's the bulky, big clay stuff. Right? Very hard and tough, and it's dry.
Yeah. What about your 2 acres of dry land? Where was it? Was it near your house?
That is right opposite my house. That we planted chili and other kinds of vegetables and so on. Then we planted a lot of tomatoes and red ducks and chickens, and behind the stream we caught fish. And we were very self-sufficient. That's why we didn't bother very much about our farmers. We could have lived a very lazy life. That's why I understand why the Malays, left alone in a place like Andau, would not want to struggle. You see this drain, This being with drainage, irrigation drainage with grass is about this broad, as broad as this room, with grass banks. Now, that drain is full of fish, or was full of fish. And at that time, my son was about 3 years old. And I would make bamboo, about six bamboo sticks, about 4 feet long, tied with white cloth. People say it's just bad sign, like dead people when tied with white cloth. But I didn't know that. And then tie with string and hook, and put a lot of worms, and just put them in the sand and left it overnight. And in the morning, all the six would go, and he and I would walk down the stream, way down to the narrowest part. There would be a narrow part, and watch out. And you would say, there's a rod there, there's a rod there. Daddy, there's a rod there. And I would jump down, both of us go down, way down, and catch. Invariably, we would catch two or three fish. This big carp, ikan arwan, bring back for my wife to fry. Or you would be too lazy, we'd take a mosquito net and make it with four corners, made across bamboo. Put them in the water, lift them up with four or five small ikan sepat, golden one, very good. Fry them in coconut oil, eat bone and all. And we have our own tomatoes, own vegetables, all right in front of our house. And there was one big tree trunk we could use for firewood all our life, we couldn't finish. So it was like that, just. And we had ducks. We bought ducklings, just left the ducklings thrive on their own without much trouble. So actually nothing to do.
Where did you get your ducklings from?
As I said, the Chinese are very enterprising. Some of them rare ducks and hatch ducklings to sell. There was business going on. If you let the Chinese there for some time, there would be all kinds of business. Even I, a school teacher, I started selling pork, until I was so slow in handling the duching that I did not know I gave people overweight instead of underweight. That I was dealing here, I was cutting here, somebody said, give me $5. I cut, I put here, I said, you wait. I just dropped that fellow, just took and ran away. I said, hey, you. And I chased that fellow, another chap to another piece and ran away. In the end, my wife said, yeah, you went with $500 to buy pork and came back with $475. You're losing business. You woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the slaughterhouse to buy the pig home, and you sell and got $475 instead of $500. I mean, just, we are not cut out for that kind of business. But you see, you want to follow the Chinese stuff, it's just like that. You see, so you leave the Chinese alone, you will make a success. You will make a success. If we can try to do this kind of thing, they can try it and make it a success. And fish, they go and got the fish business out of the Malays. The Malays were doing the fish business, but the Chinese went there and went to the pier to buy the fish from the Malays to sell to us. And it was very dangerous to do, because the Japanese had certain places where the big fish had to be handed to them. And only the small fish, which they did not want, to go onto our tables. But somehow the Chinese could manage to get the victory. I learned of a way how they got it, and that was to go just 3 or 4 miles further downstream. But then I didn't realize that if caught, I might be endanger my life. Because the Japanese would not ask questions.
This stream was near your house?
Yes, behind my house. Just behind my house. Just behind, just a matter of 15 feet behind my house. And the water if you got the right spring water, the water will be as pure as crystal. Lovely pure water. And it tastes nice also, and sweet. So it was quite an idyllic way of life. You know?
Besides tomatoes and chilies, what other food did you plant on your dry land?
Dry land, we have got yam, sweet potatoes, what called chai sim, I mean, that's about all. There are things we didn't bother that much.
Normally, how much time would you put into that piece of land for growing all these crops?
My wife does this more because this does not require very much. You know, the land near the house, so we didn't clear very much. Because it's too much of a slope, you see. When the slope that was not too steep, where the water could be retained, we terrace the thing a bit. Otherwise, it was difficult to plant a whole.
So your wife took care of the dry land while you took care of the...
The bed pedicure plant.
Initially, just before you were allocated your land and before you built your own house, you were staying in the communal hut.
Yes.
What were you doing there? What did you... You didn't have your own land to farm.
So that was when I was trying to do some hawker's shops, you know, selling fish, selling pork, and my wife was doing some black marketing, selling sarongs and shirts of her own mine or on commission for friends. Basically, you could sell a sarong for a few hundred dollars, you know, to the Malays. And that would keep us for some time, right? And I had my teaching job.
How long did you stay in a communal hut before you moved into your own house?
Well, I think up to time completion of my house was 6 months. Because it took some time to complete my house. While I was staying there, I was building my house. In, out. I was building my own house. Practically with my two hands, myself.
How long did you stay there before you allocated your land to build your house?
About 3 weeks. In my case, it was quite special because I pressed my brother-in-law to tell me, because I was very anxious to start.
So you started building up your own house after the third week you were there?
Yeah, third week. So
how did you do your small business of selling pork and fish when you were staying at the communal hut?
I learned from the people that you could go downtown and go there and auction for the pigs. They would say, this pig, how much? And they would say, 300, 350, 360, and so on. And then they would, you take it, it's yours. Now, whether the pig was healthy or not, we wouldn't know. No? And I would take the pig and cycle home. No? And that was all. No? And the fish the same way. And take a chance. No experience, nothing, but we were so desperate. No?
Do you mean the Andau town?
Yes, in Andau there was Chinese also staying there. They were slaughtering pigs and so on. You're selling fish. Of course, the fish we bought from the Malays.
So.